Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone. Welcome back to Quran 30 for 30. So the question from yesterday's juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Ibrahim a good word. Alam tara kayfa daraba Allahu mathalan kalimatan tayyiba. What is that good word? So answer below bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Welcome back to Quran 30 for 30. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. We have, of course, as always, Sheikh Abdullah Aduru. And alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, Sheikh Ammar Shukri, alhamdulillah, coming from Al-Maghrib. Al-Maghrib is so oppressive, they made you wear their colors.
Astaghfirullah. yeah, I didn't even realize that, man. It's just natural. Just flows out.
It's in his blood, mashallah. That's beautiful.
It's part of the collaboration. Sheikh Ammar has obviously been doing, alhamdulillah, quite a bit on the names of Allah in Ramadan for Yaqeen as well. So check out his Ramadan series as well, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. And of course, the shorts that have been coming out on Yaqeen now for some time. We've done quite a bit together, alhamdulillah. It's a blessing to have you here.
Allah barfiq, pleasure is mine.
We're a little disappointed with the shoe game, though. Sheikh Ammar's got the Sudani shoes.
No, shoe cool. Camera.
There's a shoe shot. There's a shoe
there's
cam.
No, there's no shoe cam.
There's a shoe cam.
Yeah. I'm actually, I told you I was heading to Umrah tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. And so I just wanted to get shoes that wouldn't get stolen in Medina. So that was the plan.
So this is a promise that you're going to wear the Markoub shoes in the future?
Inshallah. Normally, that's the norm. You know, we wear the markoubs, the Sudanese style.
Jalakum shurwa qabali ta'ala fu shaykh.
We got to get to know the Sudanese culture. 100%.
That's right. Let them know.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Well, it's good to have you. And inshallah ta'ala, we're looking forward to hearing your insights bidhnillahi ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. Salat salam ala sudna wa alihi wa sahbihi man wala. So inshallah ta'ala, in Juz 14, subhanAllah, you have some of the most beautiful and hopeful ayat from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I want to remind you that in Surah Ibrahim, Allah azza wa jal says, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. And remember when your Lord proclaimed, if you are grateful, I will certainly increase you. But if you are ungrateful, then know that my punishment is severe. And that is one of the most beautiful ayat, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises increase with gratitude, but merely warns about his punishment without promising his punishment, leaving the door open for tawbah, leaving the door open for repentance to the one who takes heed of these verses. Now, when we come to Surah Al-Hijr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 49, نَبِّ عِبَادِي أَنِّي أَنَا الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Inform my servants, O Prophet of Allah, that I am indeed the all-forgiving, most merciful. وَأَنَّ عَذَابِي هُوَ الْعَذَابُ الْأَلِيمُ. And that my punishment is indeed the most painful. Once again, that the punishment exists, but نَبِّ عِبَادِي, it starts off with, inform them, O Prophet of Allah, that I am indeed the all-forgiving, most merciful. And then finally, وَنَبِّئْهُمْ عَنْ ضَيْفِ إِبْرَاهِيمُ, and inform them, O Prophet, about the guests of Ibrahim. So I'm going to get to the connection, the beautiful connection between these three verses. But just briefly, what do you notice immediately from this verse? Now, subhanAllah, in the previous juz, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ, remember when your Lord proclaimed. Here, Allah is saying, tell them, O Prophet of Allah. Now, aren't we reading the Qur'an, so shouldn't it just be that I am the most forgiving and the most merciful, as is the case of many verses? Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he mentions a few possible reasons for this. One is a very beautiful story that's narrated that the Prophet ﷺ walks by a group of companions and he found them laughing. Now, of course, the Prophet ﷺ used to smile, he used to bring joy. كَانَ بَسَّامًا ضَحَاكًا عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. He used to smile and laugh in his way, a dignified, beautiful laugh, and he would cause others to do the same, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But there's a type of laughing that could suggest heedlessness, right? A distance away from reality and away from the seriousness of this life. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to this group of companions that if you knew what I knew, then you would laugh little and you would cry a lot. And subhanAllah, what we find, as Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma mentions, and this is in many of the books of tafsir under this verse, that Jibreel alayhi salam comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says that your Lord has said, Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لِمَ تُقَنِّتُ عِبَادِي عَنْ رَحْمَتِي. Why are you causing my servants to despair for my mercy? And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes back to them and says, سَدِّدُوا وَقَارِبُوا, the very famous narration or an iteration of that narration, that be balanced and pursue perfection and be hopeful and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the daytime and in the evening, and you will reach your place of success. And so that's one of the reasons why, نَبِّ عِبَادِي, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inform my servants about my mercy. Also, the scholars mention of the benefits of this is that it is establishing the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the medium, as if to say, you can only know Allah through his Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so Allah azza wa jalla establishing the authority of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the Messenger in multiple places, and that is also the case here. And there's finally a place here, but also, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as you have come to know me, testify to them about my mercy and my forgiveness, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the closest to Allah of all of the creation. But also let them not forget that punishment exists, and that is the balance of hope and in fear, but also that I work miracles. And I'll just say that that leads into the next juz, juz 15, inshallah ta'ala, and you'll see the beauty of let them know that I am the most merciful, but also that my punishment exists, but also that I will work miracles for them in this life, should they be from the righteous. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst them. Allahumma ameen.
Hayakumullah, Shaykh. Bismillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa ala amma ba'd. SubhanAllah, when speaking about the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-forgiving, the most merciful, as he mentioned in the verse in chapter Ibrahim, it's important to remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has beautiful names and attributes, that they're forever and that they're perfect and that there is no room for imperfection. So from that being the case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when whatever is with him, with his sharia, the reward for the slave, when they work for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will stay with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But whatever is for other than him, or whatever is other than him, meaning creation, there is a limited time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the chapter of Nahl, verse number 96, when he speaks about this reality, he says, after أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدْ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقْ وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّ الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whatever you have will end, but what Allah has is lasting. So this is the first portion of the verse that I want to capitalize on here. This principle of that whatever with Allah subhanahu, whatever with you that is with you is temporary. Even yourself, your physical self, is temporary in this life. It's temporary. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one that created you, al-Khaliq, al-Razik, al-Mudabbir, the creator, the sustainer, the one that has control over all affairs, he is forever. And that's why our ultimate goal in this life is to work to, in order to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannah. May Allah make us the inhabitants of Jannah, inshallah ta'ala. This world is a temporary place. Well, whatever actions you do, as long as they're with ikhlas, do not be deceived by what is in front of you. So the work that you do, if you don't see the results, it's okay, as long as your main concern was sincerity. So whatever was with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, baqa, baq min baqiyah, that is going to stay. The investment that you had in this life for raising your children the right way, for you denying yourself of temporary pleasures for the ultimate investment, being with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing an action of khair that you know is that action that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, this is what is beautiful and this is what will remain. Do not be deceived if you don't see that many numbers online, offline, with an effort that you had, doing it for the sake of Allah. I remember one of my shaykh, subhanAllah, I remember we had a lesson. You know, when we were in Medina in the beginning, you're in the haram, everybody's going, mashallah, did you see the lesson? Did you go to the lesson? But then maybe about half of the book in, you'll only see about a tenth of the students there. And it was suggested to the Sheikh, you want to continue with the lesson? He said, why? I'm doing this, what are we doing this for? If it's for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're not concerned ultimately with the numbers. If it is about doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is ibadah in and of itself. So this is the other understanding of ma indallahi baqa. And what does this make for the person when the person realizes that whatever I have from the tangible things, even my children, my wife, my money, everything, this is temporary. Therefore, the way that I deal with them, the way that I respond to them, I try my best to respond and act and to give and take in a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Because whatever I do, if it is sincere for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that reward will be with him. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّ الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah uses forms of surety, وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ, two different forms of surety in this verb. We will definitely, surely give them the reward for the ones that, الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا, the ones that were patient. This is so beautiful. Because they're patient in this temporary world to work for something that is everlasting. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, with the best of what they did. And some scholars mention, though your actions, some of them may not have been that sincere, or the action itself was something that was not as grandiose, the best of the actions that you've done in this life, He will reward you for that as well. So that shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-latif. He is subtle. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he loves the actions that you do for His sake. And this should be remembered when we are in this temporary life, that it is temporary, but while we are here, to have our intention to be sincere, because verily sincerity is something that is very, very beautiful in this life, and it will remain with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those that do the actions of khair for His sake, for verily that is an ultimate investment in the next life. Barakallahu feek, Shaykh Ammar.
Jazakallah khair, Shaykh Abdullah, that was beautiful. And I want to speak about beauty in Surah An-Nahl. Surah An-Nahl is called the Surah of Blessings. And while you're reading the Quran today and you're reading Surah An-Nahl, I want you to pay attention to how many blessings you're able to uncover in this beautiful chapter of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْأَنْعَامَ خَلَقَهَا لَكُمْ فِيهَا دِفْءٌ وَمَنَافِعُ وَمِنْهَا تَأْكُلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this cattle, this livestock, and it has benefits. It has the benefit of creating warmth for you. It has the benefit of eating, obviously. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا جَمَالٌ حِينَ تُرِيحُونَ وَحِينَ تَصْرَحُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that of the functions of this livestock is that it is beautiful for you to look at. I didn't grow up in a farming culture, but I'm from a farming culture. I'm from Sudan. I'm from a village of farmers. And I remember asking them about this verse, inspired by this verse. Is there beauty? Do you see it to be beautiful when your goats and your sheep come back from pasture, come back in the end of the day? They usually right before Maghrib time. That's when all of these herds come back into their kettles or their wherever their stables are. And I remember they would say to me, it is incredibly beautiful. Them coming full, being satisfied after a long day out at pasture. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that is a beauty that is designed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates that beauty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala designed that beauty. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْخَيْلَ وَالْبِغَالِ وَالْحَمِيرِ لِتَرْكَبُوهَا وَزِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, two verses later, He says, and horses and mules and donkeys for you to ride, that's the clear function. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says zina, adornment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of that page, He mentions that He subjugated the sea for us for the purpose of eating fresh meat, tender meat, the seafood. But also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَسْتَخْرِجُ مِنْهُ حِلْيَةً تَلْبَسُونَهَا. And for you to bring out from that sea, hilya, adornment that you're going to be able to wear. And so when we become practicing, a lot of times you find that religious people don't appreciate beauty. They see it to be as something that is from, you know, the superficiality of the dunya. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ زَيَّنَّا السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيحِ in Surah Al-Mulk. Allah has adorned the heavens of this world with lanterns, meaning that of the function of the stars and the placement of the stars is that when you look up at the sky, that it takes your breath away. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that beauty can be a cause of not only iman increasing. I think we've all experienced going into a beautiful masjid and your iman increasing when you go into a beautiful masjid. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that actually beauty can be a reason for iman to enter into a person's heart in the first place. So Allah tells us in Surah An-Naml, the story of Sulaiman and Bilqis, the queen of Sheba, that when she enters into the palace of Sulaiman, she lifts up her skirt, her shin, she uncovers her shin because she sees glass and underneath it is water. She doesn't realize that it's glass and she thinks she's about to wade through the water and she's told, إِنَّهُ صَرْحٌ مُمَرَّدٌ مِّن قَوَارِي. This is glass. So immediately she says, رَبِّ إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي وَأَسْلَمْتُ مَعَ سُلَيْمَانَ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. She submits to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the effect of beauty. Not only that, beauty is an argument for the existence of God. I have a poem to that effect, because if beauty is an evolutionary mechanism, if we simply evolved, then how do you explain rather beauty as an evolutionary mechanism? It doesn't make sense. So this poem goes, have you ever seen a dog stunned by the sunset? Or a bear marveling mountains capped by snow? Or a camel enamored by a starry desert night? Or a bird breathless by the scenes it sees below? And if you've never seen a cat gaze fondly into the other with resolution abreast, if you've never seen a cat gaze fondly into the eyes of another with resolution impressed, then maybe there's something special in our souls that is not by evolution addressed. Mm. Because if we're animals just like all others, then why are our souls so easily captured by beautiful moments and beautiful people, by beautiful places enamored? Maybe the beautiful made us and made our love of beauty a sign that we believe in him and realize that beauty points to the divine.
MashaAllah.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to live beautifully, that we manifest the beauty that he is, and that we be granted the gift of seeing the face of the creator of beauty in Jannah. Allahumma ameen.
It's kind of hard to top that, man. MashaAllah.
Allah ybarik fik, Shaykh.
JazakAllah khair. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and increase you. SubhanAllah, I was thinking, Shaykh Abdullah was speaking about the forgiveness element, nabbi' ibadi, that let my servants know that I am al-ghafoor rahim, I am forgiving and merciful. Yeah. Part of that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards us on the day of judgment with the best of what we used to do. That's forgiveness, that's mercy, that Allah overlooks the shortcomings and he only takes the beauty of those deeds and he rewards us with beauty for the beauty of those deeds, the best of intentions, the best of the strive, despite all of the shortcomings that we know we bring to it. And then here you have these ayat that are talking about things that we merely, at minimum, might appreciate for functionality.
Yeah.
But there's so much more than functionality.
Yeah.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not just give you things that meet your bare needs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was already showing you ihsan, excellence throughout, with your existence.
Absolutely.
And then with everything that he put in existence around you and beauty that he gave to you. And subhanAllah, I'm just thinking about that. The Prophet ﷺ used to seek forgiveness because he felt deficient in thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Should I not be a grateful servant? No one is paying more attention to the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all around than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he feels so utterly deficient in his worship sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he's saying, should I not seek forgiveness? Or when Aisha radiallahu anha says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why are you praying so much? Why are you doing this to yourself? Your feet are bleeding, they're swollen, why? And Allah has forgiven you for all of your sins, past, present, future, right? And the Prophet ﷺ says, shall I not be a grateful servant?
لا أحصي ثناءً عليك. I cannot encompass praising you.
Yeah.
You are as you praised yourself.
Yeah.
The Prophet ﷺ's gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and desire to praise him is perfect. You know, Shaykh, about this verse that you quoted, نبي عبادي أني أنا الغفور الرحيم. I use it as an example when teaching about the names of Allah to indicate that even when you have two verses that seemingly speak about Allah's mercy and his punishment in the same breath, that there are subtleties to indicate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is greater than his punishment. So, and this is where translation kind of does a disservice here. Mm-hmm. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for example, number one, نَبِّ عِبَادِي, tell my servants. So immediately he's drawing proximity. There's a big difference between me saying, where's my sister to my mom versus where's your daughter, right? He's saying my servants. And then he says, "Anni ana," that verily I am. So that's emphasis. And then Al-Ghafoor Al-Rahim indicates that these are names of Allah that he chooses for himself, the forgiving and the merciful. So all of that indicates his great mercy for his servants. And then when it comes to his punishment, he doesn't say, وَأَنِّي أَنَا الْمُعَذِّبِ. He doesn't call himself a name, but he simply says that my punishment is the severe punishment. So there's that separation there that doesn't exist when it comes to him talking about his mercy.
SubhanAllah. أَنَّ رَحْمَتِي سَبَقَتْ
عَذَابِي
وَغَضَبِي وَغَضَبِي. SubhanAllah. That my mercy surpasses my anger, right? That the mercy encompasses everything. And it's a beautiful thing. مَا كَانَ رِفْقًا فِي شَيْءٍ. There was not kindness in something except that it beautifies it. So even that, you know, and that's what's so beautiful, that, you know, so beautiful is that worship in and of itself is a beautiful thing. Like when you see someone doing an action of khair, an action of the sharia, it's a beautiful thing. But as I say, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So if someone is consistent in trying to do their best and there's time they're going to make mistakes and they turn to Al-Ghafoor, it's beautiful. How, I mean, when someone comes to you and says, you know what, and I'm sorry for what I did the other day, I really apologize. When a husband does that to his wife, or sometimes to your children, you make a mistake, you're humble, and you admit your mistake, and you're sincere, that's a beautiful thing. That's something that when someone sees you making that effort to lower yourself or lowering yourself for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by making amends with someone. You know, like I tell my community in Ramadan and Sha'ban is a time that we need to prepare ourselves, you know, tahadu, tahabud. The Prophet said, give gifts, love one another. Send a text, send a gift to someone. You're trying your best to be your best for someone that created you, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That process in and of itself is a beautiful thing for one that recognizes the reality of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why, you know, subhanAllah, you never, there's it never ends. As you said, let or see thana'an alayk, yani anta kamathna ta'ala nafsik. I cannot encompass, you know, praising you. You are as you praised yourself. And again, you mentioned the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who's better to know about Allah than himself when he tells about himself? And learning about that is a beautiful thing and manifesting that in our lives.
You say beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Mm-hmm. The previous juz is, وَإِذْ تَأَذَنَ رَبُّكُمْ and شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you are grateful,
I'll increase you.
And Allah does not say what he'll increase you in, because that increase is broad and it colors all things. And so beauty is in the eye of the beholder. The eye of a grateful servant always sees beauty. And the eye of an ungrateful servant always sees poverty, deficiency. ثُمَّ يَهِيجُ فَتَرَاهُ مُصْفَرًّا ثُمَّ يَكُونُ حُطَامًا. Right? Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions, like, the world loses color. The world loses any beauty. And so, because of your ingratitude, you're unable to see beauty. So how could you possibly have a beautiful life?
Yeah.
Right? SubhanAllah, it's all so interconnected. So it starts off with gratitude. Gratitude changes the way you see the world. And if you see the world the right way, then you perceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the right way. And Allah promises you that you'll see true beauty in the hereafter. And it's just this beautiful scheme of existence, subhanAllah, that we have.
Beautiful.
Allahu barak fikum. I just want you to end with another poem, man.
Bismillah.
You good with that, Shaykh?
Zid Babarak, hey.
Yeah,
oh, man. I don't know if I have... let
give
me see
the
here.
One about Jannah, maybe?
Yeah, Jannah.
The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Was it from the qubba, from the dome, man?
No, I don't do qubba from the dome. From the
while
dome.
You're thinking of that, I also realized, like, this whole thing about, like, adornment and, like, people, like, frown on beauty was just a roundabout way of you saying that people should appreciate Sudani shoes.
That's absolutely right. Yeah,
the beauty of Sudani shoes.
You have not worn them in a session in the Maghrib or nothing yet? Come on.
No, I always wear them. I always wear my Sudani shoes. I told you, I'm just on a place where they could get
that's
stolen.
I'm not
looking to give them up anytime soon. Uh-huh. For the sake of Allah. You know the story of the man who got his shoe stolen, and he was running after the guy and he couldn't catch him. And then when he finally was gasping for air and he gave up, he said, I give it to you for the sake of Allah. I was like, why did you say that at the beginning? So,
Allah, bismillah.
A quick poem on Jannah then. It goes like this. It's imagining Jannah. So close your eyes back home. It goes, close your eyes and imagine this. Eternal bliss. Your every wish at your fingertips. And more. Perched on a throne near a stream, so serene and exquisite a scene you've never seen, yet you still dream of more. Gone is pain. Gone is fear. Gone is grief. Gone are tears. Idle speech you shall never hear, and the prophets make up your social sphere. And more. The martyrs righteous and the truthful too. You are from them and they from you. They held tightly to what they knew was true, and to join them, you did too. There's more. Maidens chased to restrain their gaze, lost in a glance for days and days. Fun and frolic as a child plays, where the breath that leaves your lips is praise of the one who gave you more. Imagine you and your father with ages the same. Imagine showing off your book with no shame. Imagine nights with the Sahaba, their stories to entertain. Now imagine Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine him knowing your name. What could be there more? Gardens underneath which rivers flow. A goal so far and yet so close. A journey we're taking for those who know. Tell me, do you not wish to go for more? For all of the bounties and all of the grace and all of the sights and the smells and the tastes will be forgotten without a trace, as if frozen in time and space when you see his face. What an excellent master of a miserable slave. You forgot and he forgave. He gave you guidance and you still strayed. You asked for mercy. That he gave. And more. And more. And more.
I will not spoil that with any more words. We'll see you all tomorrow, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum.